Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy and I'm here with Polly.
Hi, friends.
Polly is the new co-host for a new year of the Very Pink Knits podcast, and we're going to learn more about Polly in just a minute. Well, I'm going to get through a bit of housekeeping. If you are enjoying the ad-free show, please consider supporting it. You can go to Very Pink Knits. You can go to patreon.com/verypinkknits to learn more about the benefits of becoming a patron supporting the show. And our yarn patron, as always, for 2023, again, is Turtle Pearl Yarns. Thank you, Emily. We're so happy to have you supporting the podcast. Turtle Pearl makes my favorite self-striping sock yarns and DK weight yarns now, and we always have a coupon code from Turtle Pearl. So if you check the show notes, you'll see the coupon code for Turtle Pearl, and they have a new website, turtlepearl.com, and we're just getting through that so we can say hi to Polly.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here.
Polly, I'm not in Austin, Texas. I'm in Houston, Texas, and Polly is talking to us from Norfolk, Virginia, a city name that I always feel like I'm swearing when I say it.
No, you're saying it correctly.
That's how you know you're saying it correctly, is you feel like you're saying a bad word.
Mm-hmm. If it sounds bad, it's correct. Okay. There's a little Norfolk poem that I could spare you, but it says we don't drink or smoke Norfolk. Got it?
Got it. That's how you know you're saying it right. Okay.
Correct. Okay. Right. That's right.
So, Polly, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself in Norfolk, Virginia?
Okay. So my wife and I have two children, Eleanor's 7 and Henry's 5. I am a stay-at-home homeschooling mom to those two kiddos. Before we had babies, I was an elementary school teacher. Yes. And that was also wonderful. I loved it. But now my days are spent with my kiddos, and I love it. At night, I look very much forward to sitting down with my knitting.
Because that's a full day. I mean, you're going all day, and you post pictures. I see the pictures you post. A lot of what you do with your homeschooling isn't just sitting down at a desk. You're out in the world.
Right, especially at their ages. We're busy.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, they're a handful. Their kids are very cute. And we will, of course, link to Polly's Instagram so you can get a look. And I'm going to make a picture of Polly and her family, the episode photo, so you can get a look. I know that when I listen to podcasts, I want to see what the people look like. And so I'm sure people want to see what you look like. And Polly and I have known each other for, I don't know, eight years.
At least.
We've been knitting friends online. And we've been talking about doing this podcast thing ever since Casey told me that she was kind of hitting the big reset button on her life and leaving the podcast. And so Polly and I have been working up to this, but we have never actually talked on video chat or anything until we started preparing for the podcast. So this is
Which
great.
Which is so wild.
It's so wild. Polly and I have been knitting friends, and in the past, I'd say year and a bit, we've been Peloton workout friends because we got our Peloton bikes at about the same time. And now we are each other's accountability partner. Polly shares with me the core workouts and the arm workouts for the week. And we check in with each other to say if we did a ride and the workouts and everything. So yeah, especially during the move, there are plenty of days where I did not want to work out, but I knew I had to check in with Polly, so I got busy. You love That's working right. out, though.
I am a cardio junkie.
Yeah.
But if it weren't for you, my arms and core would be much weaker.
Yeah.
Because I never gravitate to strength workouts.
Okay.
So it's great for me to have
It's good for both of us. You say that you're a cardio junkie, but for you, it's like it seems like working out really hard like helps clear your mind, and
that's right.
It's like a mental health thing for you.
That's exactly what it is. Okay. Yeah. And you know, my children are amazing, but it can be exhausting.
So oh, really?
It's nice to know that they're in the middle of the afternoon. I'm going to take a little time to just be with a grown up, even if it's virtually,
right?
And exercise. It's always been a part of who I am. Before I was a mom, I was a runner.
Right.
And so Peloton has just filled that void. It's been fantastic.
This sounds like an ad for Peloton. I promise they're not sponsoring anything.
They should, though, man. They should.
Yeah, I do want the rowing machine, so maybe we can get on that with Peloton.
Same. Yes, same.
So knitting is also, like, the way that you're a cardio junkie and you get that peace of mind, knitting is what keeps my butt on the sofa, because I'm the kind of person that's always jumping up and doing and jumping up and doing, you know, and knitting, like, actually makes me, like, ooh, sit, move your hands in this repetitive motion. So it's kind of like that meditative mind clearing thing for me. Do you get the benefits from knitting that way?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm surprised, because you knit really complicated things.
Well, you're so nice to say that. And I listened to your introduction of me in the previous episode, and I thought, oh, that's the most generous thing anyone could say. And then I simultaneously cast on the simplest shawl.
Oh, did you really? Man. Okay.
Yes. Because
you
thought,
knit a lot of...
Now I'm contradicting Stacey,
you knit
but
a lot of garments and a lot of color work. And, well, you said that your wife said that I gave a good description of your knitting.
She did say that.
She did say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's all relative. What one person thinks is a complicated pattern might not be for somebody else, and vice
versa.
This
is true.
But,
this is true.
Yeah.
But you like to really get into something and knit. I just like my hands to keep moving, and I don't really want to look at a pattern a lot when I'm just knitting in front of the TV. You really mm-hmm. get into it. And you're wearing a beautiful sweater right now. What is that sweater?
Thank you. It's the Ink and Brass pullover. I've knit it probably, well, let's see. I've knit it four times.
You've knit it four times.
It's crazy for me. I don't usually repeat patterns, but this one is just perfect.
For yourself or for other people?
For myself. Wow.
You have
four
sweaters for yourself.
Well, they're different colored stripes. It's fine.
Well, it looks
okay
really good.
It is
a nice sweater for you.
Thank you. And I will say my wife borrows my sweaters often.
Oh,
so
okay.
We could say they're dual purpose.
You're not leaving her out there in the cold. She can wear a sweater.
No. Can you imagine if she went off to work every day in, like, acrylic sweaters that bought
that's
at,
like,
Costco?
Sweaters from Target or something? No.
That's right. And I've got my wool on. Sorry.
That's good. You're taking care of your family.
Yeah, I try.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to think. That was a good introduction. We got through, like, our relationship and your knitting and your family. And is there anything else that I've missed, Polly?
I don't think so.
It'll come up later anyway.
Sure.
It'll
That's
come
right.
up later.
Yeah.
Well, this is a knitting Q&A show, and Polly is, I think, ready to help me magically turn knitting questions into knitting answers.
I am. Let's give the people what they want.
Let's give them what they want. Yes.
Okay, here we go. Hi, Stacey and Casey.
Oh,
hi,
what Casey. Are we going to do? What I mean,
we miss you, Casey.
A lot of these questions are going to start out Stacey and Casey.
Yeah, I think that's okay. She's earned her spot.
Okay. Okay. You read it as you like then, Polly. Let's keep going.
Okay. So this is a Patreon question, and it starts, hi, Stacey and Casey. I so enjoy your podcasts and the laughter you bring each week. Thank you. I have a question about color work and swatching. Not my favorite part of knitting. I'm going to knit the Grand Teton Beanie from Nancy Bates's National Park book. I normally knit as a thrower but can do a continental knit stitch, so I thought that I would do the color work with two hands to avoid all of that bothersome yarn twisting. My question is about gauge for two-handed knitting. Shall I work the swatch in my normal throwing method or use the pattern chart for the swatch using both hands, continental and throwing? I suspect that my continental stitches will be tight since that's not my preferred method to knit. My first instinct is to omit the swatch altogether. This is a beanie after all. But I have a specific recipient in mind and want the beanie to fit. Any advice would be much appreciated, even if it requires me to swatch. Thanks very much. Catherine in Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Catherine. Thank you for the question. This is a good question that comes up in different forms all the time. First of all, that Nancy Bates book, Knitting the National Parks, I've been posting about that book. I've been knitting from that book, and we've talked about it before. If you haven't seen this book, I recommend at least just going to Amazon because it lets you get a look inside the book and you can see what's going on. There are how many national parks? Maybe 50 national parks in this book, and each one has its own beanie designed to represent the landscape of that park. It's so cool. And it's a lot of color work and following charts and stuff like that, but it is, and I say it like, I know not everybody loves that, but what a cool idea, especially for someone who lives in a state with that national park or
I don't know. I love it. It's actually my coffee table book right now because it's that cool of a book. Anyway, I'll link to that book because we keep talking about it and I like it so much. But Catherine has questions about work, doing color work and swatching for that. And when we knit a swatch, we're trying to see what are stitches per inch to see how the gauge is working out. We want our stitches per inch to match that listed in the pattern so that the size of the garment we're knitting works out. Like, gauge doesn't really matter so much when you're knitting a scarf or a shawl or whatever, because scarves and shawls and blankets, they don't fit anywhere. But a hat fits, a sweater fits, socks fit. You need to have the correct stitches per inch or gauge. So Catherine's being a very good knitter, and she wants her hat to fit because she's got this specific person she's knitting this for. Because this is a hat and not a sweater, Catherine, I'm going to say just start knitting and then check your gauge, because that's going to be the most accurate way to check your gauge. And it's not a lot of knitting. You're casting on fewer than 100 stitches, or about 100 stitches for this, I think. So it's a little bit of knitting. It's not going to make a massive amount of work for you if you need to change needle sizes, and you're knitting in the round, which is going to give you a more accurate gauge, and you're working the color work as you are in the hat. You know, that's going to give you the most accurate measurement of your gauge. There was one other thing that was in my mind. Yes. Okay. So the gauge isn't going to be super duper important in the ribbing at the bottom of the hat. So knit the ribbing in the needle size suggested in the pattern. And then if you do need to change needle sizes because your gauge is off, keep the ribbing. You might even want to put a lifeline in there so you can rip back to it in case you need to change needle sizes. Okay, we better find this out, Polly, about you. Like, what is your philosophy on swatching? Because Catherine here is a very good swatcher.
Oh, you got to swatch.
Got to swatch. Embrace the swatch.
I can't tell you. I've been burned so many times. And finally, I was like, okay, I'm swatching forever. My mom is a tiny person, much smaller than I am. And so she has at least 3 sweaters, beautiful sweaters that I knit that I couldn't wear.
Because they were supposed to be for you.
They were too small. Yep.
Oh, you're lucky to have someone that can take the smaller sweaters.
And she's great. She loves them. She wears them all the time.
She takes good care of them.
Wonderful. But
something I didn't ask you is, how long have you been knitting?
Oh, 20 years.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in college when I started. But honestly, until I found your YouTube channel, I was knitting scarves and blankets and washcloths.
Okay.
And that's it.
So I helped you get confident enough to do garments?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That's so great.
I wouldn't be knitting anything if it weren't for you.
Oh.
Except, you know, those quadrilaterals. That's it.
The quadrilaterals, right. Oh, that's good to hear. Okay, I didn't know that you'd been knitting for that long.
Mm-hmm. I started in college.
Wow. That's awesome. Yep. Okay. And you're a swatcher.
I'm a swatcher.
Okay.
But I'm like Catherine. Well, I don't throw, but I'm a right-handed knitter. I'm a flicker like you are.
Oh, okay.
Thanks to you.
Oh.
But when I knit color work, I use both hands.
Right.
And I think Catherine's approaching it in a very wise way, because I definitely see a difference in my gauge.
Really?
When I go from Okay. When I throw, what is it, throw?
Yeah, with
your left hand?
No, you throw with your right hand, you pick with your.
Okay, yeah, those picked stitches are definitely different.
Okay.
Than my regular knitting.
Yeah, it is really different if you're used to holding the working yarn in your right hand and you know, some of your stitches, or you just completely switch to your left hand. It's going to change things up. That makes a lot of sense. Hopefully we answered Catherine's question. Now, if you're knitting something like a beanie or socks or something small, will you just use the knitting as your swatch, or will you knit a separate swatch? Yeah, you're like me that way.
I can't say that I've ever swatched for socks. Which I think for socks, it would be a good idea. Probably should.
No. Especially if you're doing toe up. Just start knitting the toe and then measure your gauge.
Yeah. Okay, good. I never knit toe up, but you're right about that.
Yeah, that's true. Cuff down. Well, you can. You can leave the ribbing just like I recommended Catherine do in the in the hat. But I also don't have a problem with sock gauge, and this is unique to me. I write sock patterns and I knit my own patterns, so I know exactly what the gauge is because it's my gauge.
Right, right. Well, that you're very lucky in that way, aren't you?
I am lucky in that way.
But no, I reserve swatching for sweaters. But I definitely do it every time now.
Very good. And you wash and block your swatch.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, we've got that cleared away. That's
I should have it on a shirt. Like this. Yes, those are words to live by.
Well, I have an enamel pin that we gave away a while ago that said embrace the swatch.
Good one.
So that's what I say is embrace the swatch.
Well, and regarding socks and hats and stuff, was it you or maybe Elizabeth Zimmerman who said, you're always going to know somebody who can fit into this item?
Funny you should say that because she is my heroine and she said it and I repeat it all the time. So
okay. We've
both said it, but they're her words. Like, yeah, you knit something, it's going to fit someone you know. So
yeah,
just keep knitting. Like, your mom is a lucky recipient of that.
Just keep knitting.
Right. All right, Polly, let's get to another question.
Okay, here we go. Another Patreon question. Thank you so much for your weekly podcast. I so look forward to listening. Here's my question. When knitting a pattern with cables, sometimes the pattern has you purl the stitch or stitches you hold behind the cable needle. For example, cable 2 over 1 left, purl. Cable 2 over 1 right, purl. Now I'm reading. She's got it abbreviated C2 over
right,
1 yeah. left, P. But okay. Is there a reason to purl the stitch? Does it give a different look? I guess I'm asking because the purl is always hard to do when doing a cable. Thank you again, Audrey from Gearheart, Oregon.
Hi, Audrey. The simple answer to your question is yes, it makes a big difference. And a lot of time with cables, if you're not familiar with cables, it's the twisted stitches that you see, like Irish fisherman sweaters and things like that. You mean they're all over the place, but twisted big puffy cables on a background of purl stitches is usually what you see. And the purl stitches in the actual cable that you're twisting, those are important, especially in, what do you call them when there's all kinds of twisty things, like the Celtic knots and stuff like that?
Okay.
It's when a cable is traveling that you have to have those purl stitches. So if a cable is going from, let's say, the first two stitches of the row and making its way over to the last two stitches of the row so that it can curve back, you have to have purl stitches in the cable to move the background with the cable stitches, right?
Right. Like otherwise all the cables would blend into each other.
Yes, they would. You have to have that background or the cable stitches don't stand out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the background has to move with the knit stitches. Yeah, so it does make a difference. And I will say to Audrey that it does end up being fiddly to, you know, pull the working yarn forward to get that purl stitch while you're holding both needles and the cable needle and, you know, you wish you had an extra set of hands. But I think that sort of thing gets easier with practice, I would say. Do you do cable sweaters or cables, anything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love to knit a cable. And I can see where Audrey's coming from.
It makes you feel like you need an extra set of hands.
Yes, it does. And sometimes that first purl stitch is kind of wonky. I think you've talked about this before, giving it a little tug to snug everything up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're necessary. Otherwise, your cable would just whoosh into the background.
You don't want that after you've been following this pattern. So to get all the stitches in the right place. Yeah. And it does get easier with practice. And you do end up feeling like you don't need an extra set of hands to do it, Audrey. But it's a good question. You know what? I bet she typed this out just frustrated, like, this is so hard.
Why can't it just be a knit?
I'm going to ask Daisy if I have to do this.
I love that you're like the final word here. Yes, sorry.
Yeah, a lot of times I am.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get another question.
Okay, here we go. Patreon question again. Hello, ladies. My name is Leanne, and I'm a happy supporter of your show. I have a problem, sort of. A relative passed away recently, and the family decided I was the perfect one to inherit his yarn collection.
Wow.
I know. He was very meticulous in recording the yarn information, and I'm grateful for the memories when I see some of the leftovers and swatches from various sweaters and gifts he's made. I'm thinking of putting them together as a memory blanket, and that's where the problem lies. There are some yarns that have no information with them, no notes or bands. I'm not so concerned with the washing instructions. He mostly used acrylics, and you've told us in past episodes how to determine that. But I need help on deciding the weight so I can match them appropriately. Some are obviously bulky and sock weight, but is there a good way to determine weight for the rest? Thank you so much for your tips and laughter over the years. Leanne from Tallahassee, Florida.
Wow, Leanne.
That's so nice.
It's so nice that this is her job now to take care of this. And she's like, I want to do this properly. Can I get some help for this? And I'm drawing a blank. I have a video on this thing. Wraps per inch, WPI, uh-huh. is what you want to use. Do you have a tool that you use?
I don't have a tool.
Okay, you don't need a tool. I have a video that I'm going to link to called Wraps per Inch, WPI. You can mark out an inch on a pencil with tape. I used like painter's masking tape and marked out an inch on a pencil. And then you wrap the yarn, you know, to fill that inch, and you count the number of wraps you get to fill that inch. And yarn weights have a very specific WPI. So if you're getting 4 wraps per inch, that might be a bulky yarn, and, 16 wraps per inch is going to be a lace weight. I'm just making those numbers up. I would have to actually look at the chart to get that right. But there also are tools that you can buy, WPI tools, it's just so easy to make one. And I'm thinking, WPI is such a standard here in the U.S. for determining yarn weights. Do other countries use wraps per centimeter? Because what do they do?
I wonder. I've never even easy heard... enough to figure out. Now I want to know.
Now I want to look it up. One of the patrons will chime in and let us know, I'm sure. But or I'm just wondering if they look online oh man, how many centimeters are in an inch? I need to measure this out and find out what wraps per inch this yarn is, because everything is about inches and inches are stupid.
Yeah. I relate to them.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm the last generation that they tried, the school system tried to push the metric. Did they do that for you too? Because you're 10 years younger than me.
Yep. We got a little bit of that.
You got a little bit of metric system?
Mm-hmm. Maybe by then they were throwing their hands up, but it was still part of the curriculum. So we got it.
Okay. Well, 10 years before you got it, I got it. And there was a big push when I was in elementary school in the 70s, a big push to actually switch the U.S. over to the metric system.
I wish it had been successful.
I don't know why it wasn't. Because it was a really big push. And in school, everybody was learning the metric system. And I'm glad I learned it because, I lived in Europe and it was pretty helpful. But still, sure. It's like when I see someone wearing a 5K run t-shirt or something, I'm like, is that 12
miles is
or
that?
2 miles?
No, it's not.
Either they did something really impressive or it was 2 miles, which is not bad. You ran 2 miles.
Right.
But, I can't do these things off the top of my head.
I have a follow-up.
Okay.
For Leanne's question. So you're wrapping your yarn around the pencil for an inch. How much tension are you putting on the yarn? Because I can see it kind of spreading out.
Yeah, you can see it kind of spreading out. You can also pull it really tight and make a bulky yarn have 50 wraps or something.
Right.
I show that in the video. You really just want to just get it on there respecting the loftiness of the yarn so that without pulling it, no gaps, but also not stretching it and pulling it, you allow for the loftiness of the yarn, which is going to affect the WPI. I actually show it in the video with a little bit more detail, but it is a good question because you could make any yarn be any weight by wrapping it really tightly or really loosely.
Yeah,
or not measuring the inch properly.
But now I'll never forget. Respect the loftiness.
Respect the loftiness
it's
of
the It's very important. Right, for sure.
Well, this is our first episode, and we have a full episode here. We even went a little bit long.
So much fun.
How are you feeling? Are you exhausted or are you okay?
No, I'm okay. I love this.
Well, then we'll do it again next week. How's
I
that?
I hope so. That sounds great.
Okay, if people want to see more pictures than just the episode photo of you and your family and your knitting and everything else, where do they find you?
I'm polly.knits on Instagram, and my Ravelry is Polly Baker.
Okay, and we will put links to both of those. That's right. We're going to start linking to Ravelry too.
That was Polly's idea. It's a good idea. And you can, of course, find me at the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel and verypink.com. All of our links will be in the show notes. I remember how to do this. 3 weeks off, I can still remember how to podcast.
You're a pro. You can do it.
Well, thank you, Polly. Well, thank you. That's it for this week. So until next week, stay warm, my friends.